Brian Miller here, Director of Evangelization and Discipleship of the Archdiocese of St. Louis, and your host of the Go and Make podcast. We have a great episode on tap for you this week with Amy Eschelbach from the Office of Youth Ministry talking about how to evangelize young people, the importance of evangelizing young people, and how our whole parish can be a part of that process. As always, the Go and Make podcast is a resource for you, for your parish, for your evangelization committee, for people who are on mission in the church trying to make the name of Jesus known. And we always want to hear from you. So if you have feedback or questions or ideas for guests or topics, please shoot us an email, evangelization@archstl.org. We do hear from some of you guys out there from time to time. And I recently heard a story of someone who has been listening to the podcast, who's been feeling challenged to continue to talk about their faith with their neighbors. And they saw their neighbor out there doing yard work during Holy Week and felt really compelled just to share their own faith story and why their faith was important to them and invite them back to church. So they shared their why. They made that invitation. They saw their neighbor at Holy Thursday service. They went together. And then they saw their neighbor in line for confession that next week. And it's just really a powerful reminder that it's the simplest things and the simplest invitations that can bring someone back into the church, sharing your witness, sharing your why. Sometimes we think we have to have it all perfectly figured out of what the next step of the journey is, and we want to plan and build our path of discipleship and help people encounter Jesus and grow in that relationship and witness him to others. We want to help our parishes do all that, but the most important thing is, in your own day-to-day life, just to start, just to say yes. So really excited for where our archdiocese is, really excited for the fruit we see being born out there on the front lines. And just want to say thank you to all of you who are building up the kingdom of God here in the Archdiocese of St. Louis. Welcome to Go and Make from the Archdiocese of St. Louis, equipping you to live the great commission of Jesus Christ to go and make disciples of all nations. Welcome back to the Go and Make podcast. This week, we are talking about the young church and how important the young church is, the church not only of the future, but the church of today and the gift that young people are to the church and how we can reach them. And we are really pleased to be joined this week by our Director of Youth Ministry for the Archdiocese of St. Louis, Amy Eschelbach. Amy.
Good morning. Good morning. Good to be with you, Brian.
Welcome to the show. I think it's afternoon, but no one's gonna hold that against
We're
you.
We're off to a good start. Yeah,
that's right. We're going strong here. You have been working at the Archdiocese for how long now? It's been a little while.
Sure. I've been here full-time 11 years. Prior to that, I was in parish youth ministry at Most Sacred Heart in Eureka for a year. And then I did serve 5 summer internships with the Office of Youth Ministry.
5?
Yes. Yes.
That's amazing.
I thought you were going to ask if I did a victory lap in college, but
yeah, one extra one.
Yeah, I actually served the summer after I did a stint with Net Ministries. So I got an extra summer internship in.
And who is your favorite person in the office while you were an intern?
I will not answer that question. I mean, it was your wife.
Of course. Well, I mean, yes, we don't want to hurt any other feelings. So we'll just say we love them all equally like our children, right? Like that's how I answer that question.
Yes. You know,
always. So, well, great. Yeah. And I think that youth ministry is such a vital part of the church and oftentimes misunderstood. I know that around the building here, occasionally I've heard people talk about youth ministry as, you know, pizza parties and games, which that can certainly be an element of effective youth ministry along the way. But it's been such a big part of the fruitfulness in the church the last, you know, especially here in St. Louis, the last 25 years since John Paul II visited. So I'm really excited for this conversation because it's been such a big part of my life, and it is the reason that I'm sitting here today. And I know you have that same story too. And one of the things we ask everyone when they come on the show is just to tell us your own faith story. So how did you come to meet Jesus? How did you come to be a person of faith? How were you evangelized? It always gives people kind of an understanding of all the different ways and avenues that people can come to Jesus.
Sure. Well, I'm a product of Catholic school education here in St. Louis, and I always point to one of those initial moments of encounter being during my eighth grade year. We had a transitional deacon who was assigned to teach religion to our eighth grade class, which was great to see someone pursuing a vocation. That was an opportunity that we didn't always have. And I remember he assigned us to go to the Triduum services, which is not something that my family had normally done. And I took that opportunity to go. And I remember being drawn into what was true, good, and beautiful. As eighth grade Amy, I wouldn't have been able to use the transcendentals.
You couldn't quite articulate it that way, yeah.
But I knew there was something there. And then that led to getting involved in the high school youth ministry program. I grew up in Queen of All Saints Parish, and we had a youth ministry program that, you know, I'm very grateful for all of the adults who volunteered their time and energy so that I could attend different events, such as the Steubenville Youth Conference or Project Life, which was a week-long service camp, and come to know what it meant to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. From there, like I said earlier, I kind of started wanting to give back and volunteer and became an intern at the office. And it was in those summers that I learned I was really drawn to the behind-the-scenes work of ministry. So if I could support the adults who were doing the frontline ministry, I think that's where my gifts were really able to be given back to the church.
Yeah, that's great. And it's really, yeah, again, there's so many things that go into youth ministry that people don't realize. And a lot of people's perception of youth ministers is they don't work at all and they're just playing video games with kids or whatever. And sometimes we see that, God bless the people in our parish offices who don't always see all the hours that youth ministers work, because the youth minister could be there from 5 p.m. to midnight, and the business office people leave a little bit earlier. So there are a lot of planning and a lot of praying and a lot of formation that goes into effective and healthy youth ministry, which is what the Office of Youth Ministry here is all about, creating healthy youth ministry in a context that's good for kids, good for the parish, and really a gift to the church. So I guess, you know, one of the things that I think is really important as we start talking about youth ministry is we have to define our terms, you know? So what is youth ministry as we know it?
Sure. Well, let's start with what the technical definition is, which unfortunately we have to go back to the 70s to get the technical definition from the USCCB. Sidebar, I know they're in works to publish a new document about youth ministry.
Very exciting.
We'll see how the technical definition changes.
All the USCCB nerds out there.
Yes.
There's so many of them. I mean, I am one of them, I guess, but you know.
Yes. Anyhow, back in the 70s, the USCCB came out with a document called A Vision for Youth Ministry. And to put it in simple terms, youth ministry was defined as a way for the church to provide a place for young people to receive from the church and to give back to the church. So that reciprocal nature, where a young person feels welcomed, because of course they are a part of the church, but also where they can put their gifts and share their gifts with the larger church as well. That's what we hope parishes view youth ministry as a reciprocal relationship and a place for young people to feel welcomed.
And you mentioned this to me before. You did a lunch and learn for folks at the Curia here, so you didn't mention it just to me. You mentioned it to everyone there. But youth ministry is kind of a new category of ministry in the church. That's something we've always had in the way we understand it now.
Sure. If we look at the United States from more of a historical context, the idea of adolescence is a relatively new sociological term, because in earlier days, a young person may go on to high school, but high school is relatively new. And so this idea of not entering the workforce right away kind of elongated adolescence. And so now we have a period of people, an age group of people that we have to figure out. How do we minister to them? And what does their relationship with the church look like? And that whole history of adolescence, I think, is very interesting to learn or to see how the church is going to respond. And that's enter youth ministry.
Yeah, right. This kind of post-industrial revolution where people aren't working all day in the farms and the fields and the cities grow and everything kind of – it just shifts and changes. And then also paired with that comes the developments of the sexual revolution and the 60s and in many ways the breakdown of the family in modern culture in so many ways where – I think in the church, we could assume that the working assumption always was that the family was the domestic church. And of course it is, but we would hope that the family would be the ones passing on the faith and doing that. But as we see in society, this huge breakdown of family life, as we know that, you know, mass attendance numbers across the archdiocese have gone down consistently every year for the last, you know, I think they went up last year actually, but good work evangelization of parishes, right? But they're consistently trending downwards and people are consistently less engaged in the parish. So they're not talking about the faith and passing on the faith in home. So we have this crisis of if we don't hand on the faith to the next generation, then we're not going to have a Catholic church, you know, bar a profound movement of the Holy Spirit, which is, of course, is always possible and hoped for and prayed for. But, you know, Sherry Waddell has this great line in Forming Intentional Disciples. She says, God has no grandchildren. Like, he only has children. And it's like if we don't work hard to pass on the faith to that next generation, like, and to make it their own, then we're just going to be missing something. It's really important.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes we can look at youth ministry as being the antithesis of the domestic church. And that's just not true. I think, yes, of course, parents are going to be the primary catechist for their children. But I think, as in ages past, the phrase, it takes a village, is so true today. And so, of course, we want strong catechesis coming from the domestic church, but let's pair that also with other ministry outlets to give our young people many opportunities to encounter Jesus Christ and make their faith their own. I think that's part of the maturation process that, you know, we focus on so much, maybe the physical maturation or the intellectual maturation of our youth, but what are we doing to mature their faith? Of course, through the sacraments of initiation, but beyond. You know, catechesis can't just end with confirmation. I don't think anyone is arguing that it should, but we need to look at youth ministry as a form of catechesis because it is, you know, it's going back to a comment you made earlier, it is so much more than banners and balloons or pizza and bowling. There is systematic catechesis that needs to take place. And if we have a parish where maybe that's not happening, that is something our office can help with, the formation and laying out solid plans for catechesis in youth ministry.
I think so much of like the renewal that we see going on in the church right now, we talk about relational ministry and incarnational evangelization. We talk about the method of how we do accompaniment and discipleship. And really, you know, in the church of the United States, like that has been pioneered and driven in a lot of ways by youth ministry. That what we're trying to get folks to do in the rest of the church is what youth ministry has been doing really well for decades, not this newfangled thing, but you know, investing deeply in young people, helping them learn what it looks like to live that walk the faith and live the faith and to learn to pray and to be radically in love with Jesus and let that take over your life. Like we want that for everyone in the parish, and youth ministry can be these little hot pockets of just zeal and fire. And you can actually see that renew a whole parish sometimes when the young people catch fire for Jesus too.
Oh, absolutely. So right now, Gen Z, which is folks more or less born between 97 and 2014-ish, that is currently a third of our population. So while the folks in the leadership seats, the parish councils and here in the Curia are not typically Gen Z yet, Gen Z is entering the workforce. Gen Z is, like I said, a third of our church. And so how are we ministering to them and how are we learning from them? Like you said, youth ministry does relational ministry really well. And we could all take take a page out of that book in terms of how do we welcome people into our churches? How do we pay attention to hospitality and environment and sharing our prayer lives with one another?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of intentionality that goes into it. And I think that because these young people have so many options nowadays, and you talk about Gen Z, I mean, my goodness, they are bombarded with noise and with cell phones and with social media in a way that was like unfathomable to you or I growing up. You know, we're not the oldest folks in the building by any stretch of the imagination, but even so much has changed since we were young people. Youth ministry has even shifted and changed since we were young people too. And I think when we talk about our evangelization paradigm, we talk about the moment we're living in, it's understanding, you know, the world and how it is and who we're trying to reach. And, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas has the line, like, what is received according to the mode of the receiver, which is a bit of a mouthful. But it's, do we understand the people we're trying to reach and how they're going to receive and understand the gospel? Do we understand the unique challenges that face Gen Z? So these people we're trying to reach now, these young people, Gen Z, who are they? What are the challenges they face? What are the kind of things we can do to reach them?
Sure. Well, when talking about Gen Z, I look a lot to Dr. Tanita Maddox. She works with Young Life, and I think we have a lot to learn from how Young Life does youth ministry. I think they do it very well. But a lot of her research focuses around what are the questions that Gen Z is asking? Because as a church, we sometimes reach out, maybe trying to bombard young people with information, but we're not answering the questions that they're asking. So let's understand Gen Z a little bit more so we can respond to the right questions. And a lot of individuals, of course, we can't make sweeping statements about every Gen Z individual, but you know, they grow up in a world, like you said, Brian, completely different than you or I. They were at most two when 9/11 happened. They don't know a world without social media. Gen Z is known as being digital natives. They've always had cell phones and digital landscapes to have to navigate. Also, we could talk about how just the safety of the world has changed. I know an example that a lot of people use that we have to kind of have a reckoning with is like when I grew up, we would have fire drills at school. Well, I never turned on the news and saw a school building burn. But kids today are having active shooter drills. And when you turn on the TV, they are seeing school shootings. So for us to say, oh, well, when I was your age, is really not a statement we can say anymore because so much has drastically changed. And how Gen Z responds and adapts is just so different from the world when I was in high school. That being said, I want to be clear that by no means do I mean to give Gen Z a bad rap. They are a generation filled with hope. They are people who seek after truth. They want to know justice. And they really do have a profound desire to learn more because information has always been at their fingertips. And so those are things, gifts that they give to the church. Are we willing and ready to receive them?
Yeah, there's a Wilco song I think of often, and it says, every generation thinks it's the worst. Every generation thinks it's the last. Every generation thinks it's the end of the world. And, you know, you always have, in the course of all of human history, everyone laments the generation coming behind them for being lazy and dumb or, you know, worthless. And we know how to work hard and all these things, right? We want to write them off as just like, oh, well, they're soft or they're needy or whatever it is. They're immature. But they also have profound and amazing gifts to bring to the church. And I love that early definition you gave of what youth ministry is, because I think, again, like when we lean into hope, and I think that that's just such an important part of evangelization that people get really like hopeless a lot of times. And the line I use all the time is like, in my life, in my career, I've had a front row seat to hope in the church. I've been involved in youth ministry and college ministry and seen ministries grow and things like that. Not because of anything I've been doing. I've been around really cool people who are doing really great things. But to lean into that idea of the hope of that God can move hearts, and God still does move hearts, and God is moving young people in a way that is going to be the answer and really the saints that our church needs to grow.
Oh, absolutely. I have the privilege of getting to talk to young people regularly, and to ask them, tell me about your prayer life, just leaves me in awe. I mean, we have young people who are consistently attending daily mass, who love Liturgy of the Hours, who, you know, get on buses to go and stand for life in different avenues. We have so much hope in young people. And one thing, Brian, that you said that stuck out to me is you talked about the opportunities you had as a young person. And this is also just something I'd like to speak into is we need to advocate to provide those opportunities for young people. So you and I had those opportunities because somewhere along the line, there was an adult who said, this is an important thing. Let's invite young people. And that's something we could all grow in, is the art of extending the invitation to young people. Let's not discount them. Or, you know, maybe they're not on the parish council, so they don't have a say in what the church is doing, but are we asking the questions, what would a young person need? Or how can we ask them what their needs are?
Yeah, and I think it's really important, you know, everyone in the church and everyone in different ministries, everyone thinks their thing is the most important thing. And everyone's fighting for attention and budget and all those things. And, you know, we have lots of different guests on the show and they're all advocating for different things and things like that. And what I would say is, like, we need to invest a lot in our young people. And you've talked about people's budget as a theological statement, like of where is your hope in the church and what are we trying to do? It doesn't mean that we also don't need to do adult faith formation well, but I don't think we can stop investing in young people to do other things. So maybe we need to do other things better and rethink our adult faith formation and rethink our evangelization efforts or retreats for adults or whatever, or, you know, the way we do it in school and curriculum and things like that. Fine, do all that. But don't do it at the expense of the opportunity to continue to invest in young people. I think when we do that, and this is what we've seen in St. Louis, Pope John Paul II came in 1999. They had this big youth rally. It's where I had my big conversion experience. Wouldn't be here without it. And what happened was an explosion of youth ministry across the archdiocese that created an amazing number of opportunities for people. And that's when they started going to DC for the March for Life. And it's when they started Steubenville right after that, where literally thousands of people have had a profound encounter with Christ. So these opportunities that we have are because there was something really impactful and fruitful at the beginning. And sometimes when that can like fade from memory, we let the fruitfulness die, or we forget about, you know, we're trying to do everything. And really what we need to do is just lean into, how do I help this young person in front of me encounter Jesus? You know, and so much of it is doing the hard work throughout the rest of the year to get them to that event and things like that. We have, you know, I still help out with youth ministry at my home parish. I can just never quite get away from it. No, I love it. It's great. And I was trying to explain to our parish staff one day, I said, you know, we work all year long building relationships to get kids to come to Steubenville so they can have a profound moment with Jesus and make a decision. And we can do little incremental bits along the way to get them there. But sometimes you have a kid who doesn't go to mass, who comes to youth group, and you're just trying to get them to say yes for the first time. And sometimes you need that extra push, that extra retreat. And they say, oh, well, is it even worth having a youth group if the kids who come don't go to mass? We're like, well, how are we going to get them to mass if we don't get them to start with? You know, so we have to create these pathways that the youth ministry provides really naturally and really well if we want to do that.
Right, right. And Brian, you mentioned Steubenville, which is a, you know, a great event and another place to see a lot of hope in young people in the church. But I'd like to highlight what you said. It's, you know, these mountaintop experiences, these retreats, they don't work if the young people aren't coming back to something, or if they don't have the relationships going into them. So
the people who care about them and love them and know them.
Right, right. Young people, as do all of us, want to be seen, known, and loved. And that takes time. You know, it can't happen over a weekend retreat or one night of meeting, you know. So in order to be paying attention to that, yes, youth ministry is important, but let's look at the parish as a whole. How is all catechesis and all ministry of young people integrated into the life of the whole parish. Because I think well-intentioned parishes will hire a youth minister and kind of think, okay, we checked that box. That is a good thing to
it's better than
yeah,
nothing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like right. Let's put our money where our mouth is and hire someone and have a youth ministry program. But we don't want that just off on its own. Like how is the youth minister collaborating with the priest, collaborating with the catechetical leaders, the day school, if it exists, and just really trying to make an evangelization plan for the whole parish that includes young people.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where we're at right now in the archdiocese. Like we're still, you know, coming out of the reorganization parts of All Things New, and really the rally cry that we're kind of adopting is disciples make disciples, right? And so what does that mean? There's really two halves to that. It's be a disciple of Jesus Christ and make a disciple of Jesus Christ. And you can't ignore one third of your population when you go to make that plan. And we can't ignore the gift that one third of the population, Gen Z, the young people are to the church. But we know that right now we're at this change of an age where we just the intentionality has to be there, that these things aren't just going to happen by accident. You know, there's so much fighting for the attention of our young people, and Coca-Cola is spending millions of dollars in ads and technology to target and try and steal their attention, or the YouTube rabbit hole, you know, and the algorithm that can suck you in. Not that this has ever happened to me, you know. And we don't put that kind of resources to marketing or to really anything in the church. And it's a real challenge sometimes. And I think that one of the things that you guys have done really well in the office is the resources that you're devoting are devoted. Yes, we do the big events and the student meals and things, but you're really actually trying to invest in youth ministers and youth leaders. So can you talk a little bit about what you're doing for youth leaders to make sure that they're well formed so they have a lot to give young people?
Sure. Yeah. You know, retention is always a struggle with any, I think, employment in the church. But with youth ministry in particular, it can be hard because they're weird hours. The pay is not always great.
Underappreciated.
Underappreciated. And
is the average age burnout like 18 months still? I know that's what it was for a while.
That statistic gets thrown around. I think we're a little better actually here in St. Louis, but I don't have a firm number for you. But we do a lot of, we offer tools, training, formation, and events. That's the four things, the pillars of our mission statement as the Office of Youth Ministry, to try and support adults so that we can expand the retention and expand their time in ministry, because that leads to sustainable programs. So how do we do that? Well, we offer yearly annual trainings, annual retreats. We partner with the Office of Education and Formation to do some joint trainings with catechetical leaders. We offer ongoing monthly gatherings where we'll get together, discuss a different topic, things of that nature. And we're always willing to do one-off consultation meetings. So we'll go train a new core team. We'll go talk on a specific topic. If there's something that surfaced in a youth ministry program and the adults want to be trained on it, we're happy to jump in wherever necessary. Unfortunately, I think some parishes don't know we exist. And so just trying to get the word out that we do have a lot of resources to offer those who are ministering to young people. And we're always just a phone call or an email away.
Yeah. And youth ministry is not a fad in the church, right? Like it is a full-blown professional field. It's here to stay. Adolescence is here to stay. And unfortunately, it keeps getting extended further and further for people. And that's a challenge too. And there is just some phenomenal stuff that you guys have in terms of formation and things that didn't exist 20 years ago for these youth ministers who were all kind of out there in the wild, wild west trying to invent what youth ministry was. And what people would do is they say, this is how I experienced it, and this is how I'm going to lead a program. And there's a lot of like value in that in terms of people who give generously because people gave generously to them. But there are, and there's different styles of youth ministry and formats of youth ministry and ways, but really at this point, it's really all centered on just this idea that we have to bring Jesus to be meaningful in the lives of young people and help them really consider that.
Oh, absolutely. Lots of programs, so to speak, exist nationally that you can tap into as a youth minister, whether you want to have a large group format or a small group format, or, you know, we're going to attend different events. That's all good. But what I really hope people hear and start to associate with youth ministry is that it is systematic. There is a systematic way that we are trying to present the gospel to young people and to teach them the tenets of our faith. So, you know, if a youth minister should have in their mind, like, how am I going to present the creed over the next year to my young people, right? We're going to talk about God. We're going to talk about the Trinity. We're going to talk about the church. And I think sometimes that gets lost in translation to the average churchgoer in the pew who might just hear, oh, they're having a bonfire, or they're having a camping trip, or they're going on a retreat. Yes, we're doing those things, but we're also drawing people into relationship with Christ and teaching them the kerygma and the teachings of the church as well.
Yeah, we just did a series on dating and relationships, and we rooted it in, like, what is friendship? So different levels of virtuous friendship, or, you know, things like that. And it was really impactful for the kids because it helped them evaluate the people in their lives and their dating relationships. We brought in other couples from the parish to give a witness about their own path and dating. And so, like, these are really deeply formative things for kids that they might not get a healthy view of anywhere else, you know? So we've got to provide these opportunities. As far as, you know, you guys do a lot of different programs, Steubenville being one of them. Another one is Totus Tuus, which is a great opportunity for young people. Can you talk about Totus Tuus and what that is a little bit?
Sure. So Totus Tuus it's a national program that started in Wichita. We've had it here in St. Louis about 8 years. The goal is that we hire young adults who are summer missionaries. We train them for 2 weeks, and then they go around to our parishes and put on a week of catechetical programming for youth. So during the day, they're with first through sixth grade, and at night, they're with our middle school and high school age youth. And again, it's that personal witness of, here are these young adults who come into our parish for a week, and young people get to see them excited about the faith, and then they learn about the faith. So this year, we will be focusing on the glorious mysteries, and we will be focusing on, I want to say the creed, but that's not right.
More theological things.
Yes,
yeah, it's
yes,
okay. We won't hold you to it.
But Totus Tuus is a great gift to the parishes that we serve. Young people can come for a week in the summer and learn, and that's great. But perhaps more valuable, I think, in my opinion, is the training that we give to these young adults. This year, we're looking for 16 young adults. We want to have four teams of four, and really talk about missionary discipleship. This is an opportunity for them to give back a month of just total reliance on the Holy Spirit, total reliance on Mary to bring them to Jesus, to do this work, this missionary work. And then they come out of the summer on fire for Christ, and they become our teachers, our youth ministers. They're working in our parishes. And so I think our focus of forming them leads to then broader youth ministry happening in the years to come.
They're super well formed. They're super on fire for the Lord, and they go out, and then they can't help but continue. Even if they're not going to do it full time, they're still giving of themselves as volunteers and core members and all these different things.
Absolutely. And we are still looking for more. So.
Yeah. So if you know like a college aged person or someone who's going for a fifth year of college, like Amy did, but who wants to do a summer, I had so many friends in college who did Totus Tuus and got so much out of it. And the depth of formation and prayer and team life and communal life, it's a great, amazing gift. And what I love about youth ministry overall too is just, it's very evangelical in nature. Someone asked at the lunch and learn the other day, like, how do we reach the people who aren't going to show up for youth ministry or for whatever parish event, you know? And I just think that, like, youth ministry, because kids are, like, latching on to Jesus and finding so much meaning in it, they just start to invite their friends. They start to talk about how we do it. So, like, I, you know, the like with focus. Like I couldn't go into the dorm and meet every kid, but the kids I was working with could and did. And youth ministry is really the same way. And that like, and we've seen this a lot in the high schools recently too. There's been a huge push in high schools for RCIA, and that these kids, the schools are setting the tone. You know, I think St. Dominic's had 12 kids from the high school who came into the church, or 12 people. I think one of them was a teacher actually too, who are coming into the church because these kids are being formed as evangelical witnesses and missionaries too. And I know you've got a great story about a young person who came into the church recently through that same kind of witness.
Sure, sure. That, yeah. And, you know, to no credit of our office, but there's a...
There's some credit to your office. Here. Well, maybe not direct, but all the great work you do supports this kind of...
Sure,
yeah.
Sure. I would you know, point to Becky Whitaker. She's been mentioned, this story's been mentioned in the St. Louis Review, so dig that up to read the full article. But there was a young person who attended St. Dominic High School, and not Catholic, but invited by her Catholic friends to attend Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary's youth ministry program. And through their witness and their discipleship, she decided to join the church. And then that was just this past Easter, in 2023, excuse me. And then this summer, she got up on stage and shared her testimony in front of close to 5,000 young people. So talk about a bold missionary disciple. I mean, that gives me chills that, you know, teens, like you said, they are the best avenues to inviting others, and they're much more bold than adults are, in my experience, to invite a friend and say, hey, I'm going to this thing up at my parish. Would you like to come with me? So yes, so much hope in the church, so much hope in young people, but we have to be willing to see it.
Yeah, there's been this moment that's happened at a lot of the Steubenville youth conferences where at the end of the weekend, the team chaplain will get up and say, no, Father Martin's done this. He'll say, and it kind of happened on a whim the first time he ever did it. He just felt a movement of the Spirit saying, I know there are people here who aren't Catholic. Again, you have 5,000 in a room, people are bringing their friends who aren't Catholic. And so at the end of the weekend, they always do a big vocation call. If you feel called to be a religious sister, please come forward and we'll pray over you. And people clap and it's lovely and the stage is flooded with young women. And then they say, for the men, if you feel called to be a priest, please come forward and we'll pray over you. And people clap and we pray over them and it's great. And one year, I think Father Martin just felt called to say, if anyone here is not Catholic and you desire either baptism or to be fully received in the Catholic Church, please come forward. And there were like 15, I think the first year was like 15 people came forward, and they've done that a number of times. And some of those people, we have the stories, those people go through RCIA and become Catholic and are baptized. And I'm a total softy. Like, so when that happens, yeah, every year, I am like, just, I'm tearing up, I'm crying. It's maybe more than just a little tear, you know, because you're looking at it and like, this is eternal life. Like these people, we are giving them not just the lights and the show and the music like people associate with the conferences sometimes. You're giving them a real opportunity for life in Christ. And to me, it's just like the perfect summation of what youth ministry is, because that happens on stage and there is that big encounter moment, but then who's there walking with them? It's their youth minister. It's their pastor. It's their young adult volunteers who are investing deeply into them. And it's people just giving generously of themselves so that others might experience life in Christ. I just love it. It's so beautiful.
Absolutely. And you know, just the other day in the Lunch and Learn, we were talking about the Great Commission. You know, when Jesus said, go and make disciples, he wasn't speaking theoretically. And yet, I think oftentimes, myself included, we stop short of actually inviting people into the church or into our walk with us. And so that is a very poignant moment at Steubenville where, you know, just boldly ask the question.
Boldly, yeah.
Boldly. And, yeah, young people are willing to do that. And I think, like you said, Brian, we're seeing it in our high schools and in our parishes, young people coming into the church, which is what we need, what we want.
Well, and I think sometimes we're waiting for, like in adult life or whatever, we're waiting for like the perfect moment or the perfect program to invite them into. And what a lot of youth ministry is, it's like it's going every week and there's some programs meet twice a week and they invite their friend and they're in the middle of a 6-week series and it's just okay. And the person still comes and makes friendships and learns what they can. And there's like this give and take. And so I think that's a great message too, is like, you don't have to have the perfect on-ramp or the perfect message or the perfect lead up to invite someone in and to consider Jesus for the first time. It's just make the ask and just make the invitation and be bold and see where the Holy Spirit can lead us. And I just love that witness of young people who, like, they don't care. They have nothing to lose, you know?
Absolutely. And for us to remember that, like, youth ministry is a piece of the puzzle. So I'm not claiming it's a silver bullet. I'm not claiming it's going to save the church. But all of these pieces put together, the domestic church, strong PSR programs or strong day schools, you know, the influence of mentors, youth ministry, like, it all works together to build up young people in their faith. And so the more supports we can put into it, the better off I think we're going to be.
So every week we try to leave with a couple practical tips for folks on the show. So if you were to talk to either a pastor or someone at a parish who wanted to invest in young people, what are the practical tips you would give them as far as how we can do better in youth ministry in our parishes?
Sure. A couple things. I'll give you three, I guess. One, I would say, when we're at the parish, look around and just see who is at the table. I'm talking about parish council, the finance committee, any retreat committees even. Now, I'm not suggesting that it would be appropriate or even fair to ask a teen to be on those committees.
Do not make them sit through finance right. council. No, yeah.
That's not the answer. But we have to realize if young people aren't at the table, we can quickly kind of forget them in the decisions. And again, I'm not making accusations.
Amy's over here pointing fingers for those who can't see her.
No, pointing fingers. But let's just raise the question, like, are we considering everyone in the church when we're making big decisions? Because those are the rooms where decisions get made. So that would be point one. It's just like, let's be aware. Point two, I would say, you mentioned it earlier, Brian, but our budgets are a theological statement. So personally, you know, I spend my money on what is important to me. And the same thing with our parishes. So if a parish says youth are a priority, I think we should ask, are we putting our money where our mouth is? And again, no accusations. I know that money doesn't grow on trees, and it's often a rob Peter to pay Paul. You know, they're all good things. But if we really want to say we support something, we have to financially back it, and not just for 6 months. We have to give it consistent funding to really give it a fair shot.
And with that too, hiring a person is always the biggest expense, and mm-hmm. it's great when people do that. But if you hire someone and then give them no resources to do their job, I think that's something I've seen parishes run into over the years. Like, oh, we're just going to stretch everything we can to hire a person to youth ministry, but they can't afford to buy snacks. Like, that's a problem, you know, or whatever. So, like, the whole big picture of how we invest in youth ministry goes beyond just having the youth minister, but how is it really supported by the parish holistically?
Right. Yeah. And for any priests who are listening, that is something our office really can help with, is if you, you know, bring on a new parish youth minister, we can help with that formation, because I know priests don't have room for one more thing on their plate, but we can help with that formation and development. And then I guess the third thing I would say, Brian, and I think this goes for all ministries in the church, but I fall victim into sometimes being an armchair quarterback, where I sit on the sidelines and I think, oh, well, this ministry isn't doing well, or this could be done better, or X, Y, Z. And because of my role, I think I'm hyper aware of when that happens for youth ministry. But sometimes I do think youth ministry can get a bad rap because of, you know, we see that they order pizza, or, you know, we see that they made a mess in the quilter's room, or, and we kind of paint with broad strokes and write it off. And so I would just ask that we keep an open mind and take time to meet the youth minister, ask them about the program, talk to young people, see what they enjoy about it before we write it off as being a waste of time or resources in our parish.
Yeah, just to really be an advocate, you know, and youth ministers and youth workers out there, like, tell your story. And I think that's something that I know I always could have done a better job and still can do a better job of to the parish at large. You know, how are we changing lives? Are you putting an article in the bulletin regularly and putting pictures in there? Because people need to see that hope in the church. They need to see the lives change. They need to see the impact that it's making. And I just want to say, you guys are making a difference. So just thank you for your work, for your witness, for your investment in the young church, and what you've really given your life to, which is helping bring young people to Jesus. It's been it's working.
Oh, well, thanks, Brian. You know, I'm here because someone extended an invitation to me early on in my faith. And so if you're listening to this podcast today, just encourage you to extend that same invitation to a young person.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on. Will you wrap us up in a prayer?
Sure. I would love to. Let's begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we give you thanks for this day and for all the ways that you're working in our church. We pray in a special way today for the youth of our church. We pray for anyone who is seeking to find you in a deeper way, Lord. We ask that you would continue to draw all young people closer to you. And we ask that you would give us eyes to see opportunities for invitation and opportunities to be bold in making that invitation to the church and to know you better. We ask this, Lord, through your most holy name. Amen.
Amen. Go and make disciples.